Hello, my name is Newell Nussbaumer. This is Building Buffalo. I'm here with developer Rocco Termini. Hello, Rocco.
Good afternoon, Newell.
Good afternoon. Today we're going to go around the world in Buffalo with Rocco, and we're going to touch on a whole bunch of different topics that Rocco and I have talked about over the last few weeks, and we figured that we would sit down and put it all in podcast form. So let's start with Douglas Jamal, Rocco. Can you give me some insight into what's going on with the stall projects?
It's one word, money. Banks have stopped lending. They require a larger percentage of equity. The interest rates are higher. You put all of these things together and the numbers don't work anymore. Let me tell you, Douglas Jamal made a big risk in Buffalo. Where would we be right now if One Seneca wasn't 80% developed by Douglas Jamal? We would be looking at an empty building. Here's a guy that spent $3 million to improve the Richardson, and he walked away from it because he was losing so much money. He walked away from $3 million. This is not his fault. He had all the right intentions. It's the economy, and it's Buffalo. The problem with Buffalo is the rents are still too low to support this type of development. It just makes it very difficult.
So is that what happened with the Richardson? What exactly in a nutshell do you think happened there?
I think the operating costs were so high, it didn't make any sense anymore. They now went out to bid, or they took proposals, and now they're paying somebody to operate the Richardson. He was paying them, so it was the opposite when he was operating it, and he was losing his shirt. Now they've realized, we can't charge somebody. We have to pay them.
Mm.
And the Richardson is a very difficult project. It's hidden. It's got no street presence. People don't know it's there.
Yeah.
And it's tough marketing it.
Okay. Did you ever consider doing the Richardson or getting involved with that at all?
I'm still sane if I was insane. And I shouldn't say that.
No.
I would never.
Touch that one.
Never.
Okay. You have an idea for what to do with the empty Braymiller Market building. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, I think that should be the new city animal shelter. And not only an animal shelter, because it's too big for just an animal shelter, we would put vets in there, and we would put a store in there that sells all of the normal foods and accoutrements that animals would use.
And so like a downtown pet store?
More than a pet store, but yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, and we would turn it over to a nonprofit, just like we do with the parks. The city does not belong in the shelter business. They should go out with their trucks and pick out dogs that are stray and that kind of work, but they shouldn't be running an animal shelter. And if they don't run it and a nonprofit runs it, they'd be able to get a lot of money from foundations to operate that place and to make improvements in it. You have to realize the largest pet food company in the world is right in Buffalo. And when was the last time we went to them and said, would you like to be a sponsor of our animal shelter?
And that is?
Milkbone. And it's owned by Schmucker. And they make millions and millions out of the Buffalo facility. And we get nothing out of them as far as advertisements. And other major cities, when you have a major manufacturer, they sponsor things.
Yeah.
And you know, you can go to them and they'll probably say, nobody ever asked this.
Mm-hmm.
And here is the perfect example of a marriage that can be done.
Can we talk a little bit about the vacant Rite Aid buildings? This is a personal issue for me because I've got one right on my block at the end of the street. And I'm sure a lot of people that are listening to this also have vacant Rite Aids at the end of their blocks as well. What is the answer? I think personally, this is an opportunity to develop those corner lots.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Newell, on some of them. You know, when you're on Bryant and Elmwood, yeah, you could tear that down and develop it. But on some of these other locations, it doesn't make any sense to tear them down and develop them. First of all, the footprint's not that big. The cost is going to be high. So you're going to have to really have a lot of height to the building, and you have a green code, because how are you going to amortize the cost of the real estate if you can't have a lot of units in the building? So there's problems, and it's very difficult today to get retail other than dollar stores. So you probably will see a lot of dollar stores opening up.
No. All right. Let's skip that question. Okay. This one is obviously very personal for you. We've talked incessantly about this. How do you make Buffalo a safer and cleaner city? We've even talked, with many of our podcasts, we talked about this too. Do you have any new kind of insight about where we should be going with this?
Yeah. Number one, enforce the laws. The police in this city need to rethink policing. You talk to them about, oh, this kid just broke into my car. And they'll say, oh, I don't want to arrest him. He'll only get out of jail. We'll only give him an appearance ticket. The judge will let him go. Guess what? I want you to arrest every single person that does everything and make it difficult for them.
So let them go. Isn't that a New York State bail reform? Is that a Buffalo thing? Is that a state thing?
It's a Buffalo thing. And you go to North Tonawanda, you get caught breaking into a car, you get taken to the police station, they give you an appearance ticket, and someone has to come down there to pick you up, a parent. We don't do that in Buffalo. We just let them off the hook. You want to make it as difficult as possible for someone who is not following the laws. Make it difficult for them. And it's a philosophy in our police department. We don't want to bother because there's nothing that's going to happen to them. Yeah, it is. There's something will happen to them. You're going to make it inconvenient for somebody. And if you make them inconvenient enough times, they'll stop doing what they're doing.
Inconvenient and costly.
Exactly. It's like those kids when they were getting out of school, running around downtown. You start arresting 10 or 20 of those kids, they'll stop. But we don't.
And cleaner?
Cleaner is always a problem. And because, you know, you come downtown on a Saturday and they have a street cleaner cleaning the street. People live downtown now, so there's cars parked down the street. Nobody gets the street cleaned in front of their place because there's cars parked there. Make a rule that on every other Saturday, everybody's got to put their cars free in a parking ramp or a parking lot that's near your location. You'll park there free for a couple hours so the city can clean the streets. And it's not only cleaning the streets, it's in the winter, is removing snow from the streets downtown or any place. You had the parade down Elmwood, the gay pride parade. The city wasn't there before to clean the streets when there was no cars on the street. That was the time to clean the street. And then the time to clean it again is after the parade. And no cars, so you can't say there's cars on the street. There was no street sweeper going down Elmwood. These are simple things in coordination that you need to do to make Buffalo a better city. When was the last time you saw a street sweeper on Norwood where you live?
3 years ago, maybe?
Maybe.
Maybe.
You know, we have parking on each side. For what purpose? Why can't you park on the other side of the street in the summertime? They never come to claim the street. So why is the purpose of having the parking on one side or the other?
Well, they do. In the summertime, you can park on both sides of the street. So then in the fall, you know, they switch that around, so... okay, but it's also important for the businesses to get involved. And I love this example because you are a prime example with Topo that you are out there doing some really incredible things, especially during the winter months, the holiday months, when you go crazy decorating your place, and you'd like to set a precedent for other businesses to do that as well. Because back in the day, we had AM&As and their beautiful storefront windows, and people would come down, and it would be the big celebration. And not a lot of businesses do that. So when you have one business do it, or possibly two businesses do it, it just doesn't have that that oomph that you need to really capitalize on it.
And Newell, this year I want to do something even bigger. We're going to keep everything we did last year, but we're going to make it bigger. I'm taking the parking lane in front of the building and going 40 feet. And we're going to do decorations in that parking lane. And I've been waiting now 2.5 months for the city to give me an approval. And I've gotten nothing. And every city in this country, I just came back from California, and I took pictures of little cafes in the street all over California. And I can't get anybody in City Hall to approve me putting Christmas decorations in front of my building. It's ridiculous. And I'm spending my own money. I'm not asking the city for anything.
That sounds like a problem.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, next question. Here we go. How do we bring more people downtown? We've talked about this over and over and over, for work and for fun.
When you do a survey, and there's been some surveys done, the employees downtown say there's two reasons they want to stay at home: the high cost of daycare and the high cost of parking. Well, there's a solution to both of those. I have proposed that we take, you know, there's 30,000 square feet of empty space in the Erie County Library downtown. And the governor has a program for daycare, where the state is coming up with money for additional daycare. I want to take the space in the library and the money from the governor, marry it together, and have a large daycare downtown. And we'll offer it free to people who make X or lower. So then there's no more excuse why you can't come downtown. The second is the parking. So, you know, the parking is subsidized by the city because it's run by Buffalo Civic Auto Ramps. And I know I'm on the board there. I want to have a graduated rate for parking. If you're making $300,000, you shouldn't be paying $110 a month and we're subsidizing it. Maybe you should be paying $300 for your parking. And the person that's making $75,000, maybe they should be paying $50 for their parking. And we should have a graduated parking fees, just like when you have subsidized housing, you have graduated rental fees. We should have the same thing for parking. And then you address both problems that are out there. And then you have to go to the employers and say, you need to go to your employees and say, look it, we've addressed the problems. Now you come back downtown. But downtown will not be a success until we start getting people down there.
Well, one of the ways that you have personally decided and figured out how to get more people to downtown is teaming up with Jazz Buffalo. And that was a recent development, working with Tony Zambito, and his concert series was going to be held at the Richardson Olmsted Complex. You came up with the idea of having it on the street in front of Topo. Brilliant, and apparently it's working, right?
Downtown is event-driven. People don't just come downtown. There's got to be a reason for them to come downtown. And yes, we had it a day ago. We had the first Jazz on Ellicott. And, you know, we knew that Jazz on Ellicott is going to be older people. They're not going to stand like you have a rock band and people stand and drink a beer. You got to have seating for them. We had 400 seats for people to sit in. And we had tables. And we had service. If you wanted a drink, we would give you a drink if you sat at the table. You got to address your market. And that market is an older market. But we need to get things every week downtown. We need an event coordinator. If I was to advise the new mayor on anything, I would say, we need an event coordinator downtown. Whatever happened to Gus Macker? Whatever happened to Chalk Fest? We don't do anything downtown anymore. It's just willy-nilly, hope people come downtown with no planning. We need every week to have something downtown. We need, and they're working on this, I know that because I've been working with them, but Shays needs to have more events. Because when Shays has events, it brings people downtown. Pagula needs to have more events. More events bring more people downtown. These are the things you need because downtown is event-driven.
What are your mayoral predictions?
Well, I think the mayoral election has already been decided in Buffalo. If you win the Democratic primary, you win. And I'm happy to say that it looks like Sean Ryan will be our next mayor. And I think we're going to be going in the right direction.
And if Sean Ryan, no matter who is our next mayor, what do you think needs to happen ASAP? And what do you think that needs to happen in the long run? And I'm also talking about financially, the state of the city.
Yeah, I think our biggest problem is the deficit. And nobody really knows how big that deficit is. It's probably more than $70 million because you always say it's less instead of saying it's more. Right now, there's no plan to address it. They were going to sell bonds guaranteed by revenues from the parking garages, but I guess they've decided not to do that. We need to come up, and that's a one-shot item. And, you know, why do you want to... Would you, if you were, I had a household, would you borrow money to pay off your debts or would you try to do something other? Borrowing money to pay your debts is insane. What we need in Buffalo is a dedicated source of new revenue and we need to be able to reduce our expenses. You can't do one. You have to do them both. And one of the ways you do raise additional revenue is a payment in lieu of taxes for all exempt properties. 30% of the properties in Buffalo are tax exempt. If you were running a business and you only got 30% of your revenue, would you be out of business? Of course you would. Everybody needs to pay something. The hospitals, oh, we can't pay anything. Let me tell you what goes on in a hospital. You have 200 doctors in there. They're all billing you when you go in there. Well, you go in there for a surgery, they bill you separately. They get paid separately. If it's $3,000 for your surgery, they get that $3,000. So you got all these doctors with their LLCs that take money out of the hospital. Why should those people all be tax exempt? Why shouldn't they pay some taxes to the city? Think about it. Buffalo is the poorest region in Erie County. And we have all the regional facilities that the poor people in Buffalo have to support. We have people coming to the medical campus that come from outside of New York State. They come from Ohio, Pennsylvania, Canada. Why should the people of Buffalo support them? Why can't we have a regional tax on people that come from outside the area? Why can't they pay 10% more? Why should I, as a citizen of Buffalo, support a Canadian coming over here getting medical treatments? We shouldn't. They should pay something more. We need to look at things differently. And Boston, Massachusetts already does this. They have a worse problem than Buffalo. They have 50% of their real estate that's exempt. And do you know... You know what the largest pharmacy in Western New York is that grosses the most money? Evergreen. Why shouldn't they pay taxes? Why should Best not pay taxes? Why shouldn't the colleges pay something? Why shouldn't Nichols, who has foundations in Nardins and Elmwood Franklin and Canisius High School, they all should pay something. Everyone should be required to pay something. And if you do that, it'll raise at least $35 million for Buffalo and it'll solve our problems. One of the hospitals in Buffalo, their chief executive officer makes $2.5 million. And I'm not saying the person doesn't deserve $2.5 million, but if you could pay your chief executive officer $2.5 million, you can give something to the city to support the city. Because if the city fails, they all fail.
I heard that there was a meeting of the developer minds recently, which I think is very absolutely intriguing. First of all, I want to ask you about this. Why was this meeting so important?
Because it's never been done before.
Did you put it together?
Yes. Mayor Brown never got developers together to really talk to them as a group on what they felt were problems for downtown. And right now, we know we have problems downtown, and they got to be solved. So I put together a luncheon for all the developers, and 10 of them showed up, and all the biggest ones were there, to discuss what we need to do for downtown. And one of the things that we discussed, and it may happen, is a interest rate buy-down takes place. You know, nobody's doing development because the interest rates are too high. Cost of construction is high. So let's try and solve some of those problems. And one of the ways to do it is to buy down the interest rate on loans for 5 years. What we would do is, if let's say the interest rate is 7.5%, we'd buy it down to 5.5% for 5 years. So you give everybody 5 years of breathing room, and hopefully the interest rates will be lower then. And it would help stimulate downtown development, because interest rates would be reduced and the money would come from the state, and it would increase our tax base. Right now, there's nothing going on downtown as far as construction. I came back from California and in Florida, and there's cranes all over the place. And the difference there is they can afford to pay the higher interest rates because they can get it back in rents. We can't here. So we need help. And there's other things the state can do. They can change the historic tax credits. They give 30% for projects less than $2.5 million. They should change that to $5 million for cities under 500,000 people, so that it doesn't affect New York, because they don't really need help. And if you did that, along with the interest rate buy down, I think you would see a spur in downtown development. And there's other things that we can do, but these are all important pieces to the puzzle. And we need to solve the puzzle, because if we don't, we're going to be left further and further behind.
Yeah, because I know that there are downtown building owners that are looking into convert their commercial buildings into residential. We've talked about this before. You don't think that's possible because of all the reasons you just talked about. Hopefully that would alleviate some of that as well.
That would alleviate most of those problems and make it financially viable for them to do that.
Mm-hmm. Little personal question here. What was your biggest mistake as a developer in Buffalo?
My biggest mistake was the methylated building. I was going to buy it. I was the first guy to see it. And I gave him, of course, a lowball figure. And my good friend, Paul Simonelli, comes along and offers them a lot more than they were asking. And, you know, I didn't really realize what the value of the building was. But it was a great building and a great development. It was a start of really helping Niagara Street develop, and I missed it. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you get 95%, you're doing good.
Right.
But that was one of those that I missed.
Yeah. So are you done developing? I know it's a loaded question.
It is a loaded question because you're never done.
Right.
If an opportunity comes up, you know,
all right,
I'll jump on it.
So you're not retired.
You never retire. I was at work at 5 o'clock this morning.
I'm sure you were.
Somebody who's retired wasn't at work at 5 o'clock this morning.
Yeah. Okay. What is your dream for Buffalo? I know a lot of that is rehashing everything we just talked about, but what is your dream for Buffalo?
I think it's, first of all, it's getting the city on the right fiscal path, because if we don't, we're done. We cannot continue to sell assets and one-time fixes because before you know it, there'll be apartments in City Hall because they'll sell it just to get the money. We can't.
That was Kevin Gaughan had that idea, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can't continue to look for quick fixes. In the past administration, that's all they lived on were quick fixes. We have to stop looking at quick fixes. We have to look at the future and what we have to do to make this a viable city in the future. And the only way you can do that is with dedicated sources of revenue. And, you know, some people say, well, just tax the rich more. You know what's going to happen if you tax the rich more? They're going to move out of the city. Mm-hmm. Is that what we want? It's not just about taxing the rich. It's being about being equitable and that everybody should pay something. And I think that's one of the most important things. Take an example, the HSBC Arena and the ball field. Neither of those facilities pay any taxes. And you go by them on any day there's an event there, you'll see 20 police officers out there. They complain about the overtime for police being so high. Well, all those police officers are out there on overtime, and they generate zero in taxes. And then you hear from people, oh, but you know how much sales tax they generate? They generate a lot of sales. Well, so does Wegmans. And Wegmans pays real estate taxes. Mm-hmm. Why can't you do both?
Last question here, unless you want to talk about anything else, of course. What about regionalism? Are we doing anything as far as, we're an hour and 20 minutes from Toronto, Rochester's on our doorstep, you know, we've got all these Rust Belt cities around us, but we seem to be kind of in this insular, mode all the time. What are we doing to attract people? I know Canada as a whole, like, can of worms right now, but what about the rest of the mega region?
Here's the good news. Here's the good news. You've got Poland Cars and you've got Ryan, boyhood friends from Lackawanna. If we ever had all the stars aligned, this is it, where we have two guys that are smart and get along, and they know you have to.
And they get along with Albany.
Right. They all know the only way this area is going to succeed is regional government. And, you know, you got to set the egos aside. And here's our opportunity where you have two friends that hopefully will set aside whatever they have to because of their friendships and work toward regional government. Mm-hmm. And I think you might see some of that happening.
Interesting. Anything else you would like to touch upon today?
Yes, I would.
Uh-oh.
We spend $45 million a year to bus our kids. Do we really need to bus kids anymore? You know, it was to get equal education and to get better education. Look back 30 years since we've been doing busing. Is education any better? Let me ask you that question. Do you think education is any better?
It's a good question.
Would it be better for us to spend $45 million on teachers and give these kids an opportunity and a chance? Putting kids on bus don't give them any chances at all. Giving them one teacher for 15 kids, that gives them a chance. And giving them outside and after school activities because they have a lot of these kids have nothing to go home to. We need to treat children differently than when it was 30 years ago when we were thinking differently. Kids need to be given a chance, and we're giving them no chance by giving them a bus ride. I know it's controversial. I know no one wants to talk about it, but think about it. All I want people to do is think about it. Would you rather spend $45 million on teachers or buses? Think.
Well, Rocco, thank you very much. This was an enlightening conversation, as always, and hopefully we can get together soon to talk more.
Okay.